Kano with the finish. This is Chicago, baby. Get ready.
Everybody needs to chill out.
Butler circles. Butler back outside. Rose fires.
Oh! Big time players make big time plays.
You could be a fool if you want to. Dead serious. I know I'm gonna be all right.
Welcome back to the Bull Zone. I'm Jason. With me, as always, Will Mila. What's up, Will? How's your new year? How's everything going down there with El Nino down south?
It's bad, man. It's real bad, man. For the simple fact that it doesn't rain over here. So there's no, like, I know this, but there's hardly any sewage system or anything. So It's like the water is just flowing and it's crazy. My job's flooding. And it's just 2 days of rain, right? And today I put this on Snapchat and sent it to some friends. I found it hilarious, but I got this guy from the office come back out, and this guy is taking video of the rain. Now, mind you, like, I assume most people listen to the podcast are probably Midwesterners. I know we got some Cali residents listening in, but you guys know, like, rain. I mean, the rain I'm talking about is just like a regular rainstorm back home. Mm-hmm. Sure, it's coming down. You know, I would call it a pour.
Wind's blowing.
But hardly, though, you know, and this guy's taking video. But it's crazy, man, because, you know, I used to make fun of you guys, how you drove down here in the rain, especially when I first moved down here and we had a little bit of rain. That way it affects traffic, just the speed of the vehicles on the highway. But now I understand, man, because it doesn't rain very often, the roads, the oil from, and the residue from the cars and, you know, all the and doesn't get washed away, so it stays on the road, and the road becomes very slippery. And also, the water doesn't have any damn place to drain, so you're hydroplaning everywhere. So I'm doing like 55 mile an hour, and I've become who I made fun of, which wouldn't be the first time.
Yeah, but you don't. We don't have highways out here, so you still have some adjusting to do.
What do you mean there's no highways?
They're known as – what is that in the background, first of all? Your dog drinking the water that's flowing by your house right now?
Sorry about that. Lucy, don't drink water. Aggravate the listeners.
They're freeways.
Freeways.
Right. Yeah, there you go.
Okay. There's a whole lot of them, though.
I'll send you a checklist of new things you need to learn.
Yeah, and it's aggravating, man, because my 30-minute commute turns into an hour and 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not so funny now, is it?
Small price to pay.
I mean, I think we had a couple little baby tornadoes come through this morning. Wind was crazy.
Oh, yeah, here too. Yeah.
A little weird. New Year's was cool. Lost $20 poker table, you know, over at a buddy's house. Things that I don't like to admit. Then I got, filled up on some nice ginger ale, drove home, got to bed about 1 o'clock and realized I'm an old man.
I hear you, man.
But you know who has had a very good year so far are the Bulls, undefeated, just 3-0, but still undefeated at that, beating the Knicks and Toronto and Milwaukee. And we all know that Toronto, that's a pretty damn good team, although it's been, 11 meetings between the two teams and without Toronto being able to beat Chicago. So Chicago seems to have their number. And then Milwaukee, we all remember last year's playoff series with that team. And not only are they beating these three teams, but they're also on a 5-game winning streak. And ever since the Jimmy Butler comments right after that Knicks game, directly after the Knicks game, it seems like this entire Chicago Bull team has made a turn for the better.
Before we get into that, because I know you want to get into that, I know you got some deep feelings about that. I was texting earlier.
Hold on. Don't bring that. I mean, that was a mere joke.
Were you being sarcastic?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, sounded like me in text message. We'll get into that. But real quick, I just want to touch on some comments by Stephen A. Smith in the beginning of the year, who who came out and said that he believed the Milwaukee Bucks would be a better team and finish ahead of the Chicago Bulls. Boy, was he wrong. I mean, there's still a lot of season to go, but I think we can all sit in here today. We can all agree who the better team is, despite one or two games that they've played this year. And also on Toronto, you know, I didn't know this, but I guess there's some kind of shooting guard battle between Butler and DeRozan amongst the fans, at least in Canada.
Hmm.
And there was a tweet been passed around, and it's been since been made into a meme amongst Bulls fans. And there was a guy tweeting about how, you know, I thought Jimmy Butler was a better point guard. He has 2 points this half, and DeRozan has 17 at the half.
You know? I saw that.
So, you know, it kind of sucks, you know, we had to move this date to Wednesday because Sunday, boy, I was hyped, man. I would have been on this podcast making a fool of myself, Jason.
You know what? I'm glad.
Kool-Aid and all that stuff. Yeah, but, man, what a game by Butler, man. You know, before we can get into his comments and how we think or don't think that it's affected this team, boy, that was remarkable, man. I was watching live, just a chill Sunday, and, you know, mediocre first half. But, boy, when he started getting on a roll that third quarter, leading into that fourth quarter, man, I haven't felt like that in a very long time. A very long time. Derrick Rose has not made me feel that way. You know, I'm lying. Maybe that Celtics series, you know, that was all them overtime games in the playoffs. That was probably the highlight of the last, you know, of his career.
And,
you know, watching the Bulls
right now.
Come on. I'm talking about the way it made me feel. Not the way – yeah, really. I mean, I've had some good feelings, obviously, watching this team throughout the last few years and some of the things they've done under Tibbs in the regular season. But, you know, just that feeling that you get, man, of excitement. You know, I've had some feelings like that at games a couple years ago in the playoffs versus the Pacers. But that's a whole another story. I'm talking about sitting on my couch in front of my TV. Mm-hmm. I haven't felt like that in a long, long time.
Well, I unfortunately saw the game way after it had happened, and I knew everything that was going to happen. As far as the 40-point half and the busted lip and all that. So watching the game, it did take a lot of the excitement out of it because you kind of expected it. But I also was able to kind of not so much live in the moment because the moment had already passed, but not get overhyped and kind of pay more attention and appreciate more of what Jimmy Butler was doing and how he was doing it. It was phenomenal. Definitely something that I cannot remember in this era of Bulls teams of any player doing that, obviously. And once again, he is compared to none other than Michael Jordan because he did break Michael Jordan's record of 39 points and a half. And I don't know if it was so much of a comparison, but more of a, hey, guess what you just did. Jimmy didn't like that as much. And so don't compare me to him, you know, and of course that's what you're going to say and you just want to be your own player. But it's nice to hear. I mean, if I was a player, you know, just accept what you just did and you know, 40 points and a half. It sucks he only scored 42 in the game though. That's kind of, you know, like I was watching the game.
Perspective, you know, imagine if you had a decent first half though, you know.
Oh yeah,
guy hit 57 early on or something, you know, and put a 50 point game together.
Uh-oh.
So careful. I'm a little too close to the border. Excuse the cops. Probably a bum fight going on. They're burning each other with cigarette butts out there.
Somebody ripped off the 7-Eleven on the corner.
I do have a 7-Eleven on the corner, too. Go figure, right? Where were we?
We were talking about how Jimmy Butler scored 40 and a half, but only had 42 points. I don't know why that's funny to me, but when I saw that he scored 40 and a half, I'm like, dude, that guy must have gone off.
You've got to put 60 or something, right?
That's what I thought. And then I was like, 42? Like, what? 42? Like, wait, 40? Am I looking at the right game?
It truly is a tale of two halves, you know?
It definitely.
He scored two in the first half. 2 points in 24 minutes, and then he scores 40 in 24 minutes. I don't know, man. It's weird. It's been a weird season. You know, weird comments, weird plays, weird people, sexcapades, all types of stuff going on, man. But this January, I know it's only been, what, 3 games, and they're undefeated and all, but January is looking good, man. 2016 so far as a Bulls fan. feels good. It feels good on Twitter. It feels good to wear your Bulls gear around and you know, have your chest sticking out, you know, because we're undefeated, man. We're January champs right now. And everybody's playing good. Everything's good right now. And the team is winning. You know, there's no cure, man, besides winning. Everything takes a back burner to the play of Butler. Rose was exciting. The team, I mean, Bobby Portis. I'm looking for a Bobby Portis T-shirt, man. I can't find one. Somebody help me out with that. But the team in general, Taj Gibson is playing awesome, man. Really, you know, getting himself out there, and hopefully teams are taking notice and, you know, getting interested in him. I guess we'll see come trade time. But it's just been a fun 2016, man. You know, the team's really scoring. They put up 100-plus points in 8 straight games. They haven't done that since the Vinny Del Negro era, which is Jason's favorite coach, I believe. Is that right? Am I mistaken? Yeah, I like that guy. Who was it that wanted them to hire Vinny as an offensive coach?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I don't recall. Maybe it was your boy Stephen A.
I don't know.
So looking back at everything that Fred Hoiberg's done with the starting rotation, the starting five, and having Taj Gibson put in place for Mirotić, who started out the year as the starting four. Now Mirotić joins Taj and Pau as he replaces Tony Snell in the starting lineup, which obviously, you know, at first I didn't agree with it. I thought it was I kind of laughed at it and made fun of it. I thought it was stupid. Maybe McDermott could have been that guy, but McDermott's really struggling, I think, with some knee issues right now. Tony Snell is a D-League player. So I like what the starting five looks like with Mirotić in the lineup. It's a very long lineup. Taj Gibson does great things in the interior defensively to make up that gap that used to be there with Powell and Mirotić playing that front court. So I think it's a good mix, actually, and it's kind of working out. It's working to their benefit. Mirotić is going less with a pump fake, and when he is pump faking, he's figured out that, hey, I can put the ball down and get to the rim. Last game, there was a dunk by Mirotić where he just pump faked on the right wing and then put the ball down with his left hand, dribbled right down the middle of the lane, and just threw it down with some power. Like, I
would like to know,
see that coming from Nico.
I would like to note that the ball barely cleared the rim, but it doesn't matter. Hey,
dude flew in like a bat out of hell.
He did. He almost missed the dunk, but he wasn't up very high. He's not getting off the ground very high. No, luckily, he's tall. And got some
he definitely soared in, though. It wasn't his height, but he did like glide in. Like,
kind of like when Pau dunks the ball, he just puts his arm really high in the air and goes on his tippy toe. Down the lane.
Pal's in the air for about 0.0001 seconds.
He's a new punching bag I see on Twitter, but man, you know, he had a decent couple games. He's in the top of the league in rebounding. I mean, he is easy to pick on at times, especially on the defensive end.
He's easy to drive. Yes.
Yeah, and for the type of game that Hoiberg wants to play, he's just, I don't know, man. There's times like when you know, Detroit was pounding the ball into. Or the Bucks, when the Bucks were pounding the ball and down into Monroe, I mean, they I don't know, he 8 unanswered points, I believe. I might be mistaken on that, mm-hmm. until they put Bow in. So he definitely holds value. I mean, he has that big body. You know, he can give you some offense in the post. He's obviously rebounding the ball well right now. But I just don't know how well in the future. I mean, obviously, he doesn't have much left in the tank. His contract's running up. You know, I don't know if they're going to move this guy or not. But I'm not going to miss him, man.
You know, no, I'd like to see
him. He's going to need another big body to take his place, but a guy that can run the floor. You know, the Bulls in the last 8 to 10 games have been pushing the ball better, man. Their pace is up. They're 13th in the league as opposed to 23rd last season. As we mentioned before, they're scoring points at 102 per game. That's 10th in the league, man, as opposed to 15th last season.
I think they were 21st just a few weeks ago.
Yeah, so they're really putting it together. And I don't know, man, Jimmy Butler coming out here and calling out the coach and questioning his players' work ethics and just leading in a way that we may have not agreed with initially. But it may be working out for the team.
I don't know if it was Jimmy Butler's comments so much. Maybe it opened their eyes just a little bit.
You don't think his comments made them shoot the ball better?
Or? No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't either.
Because
but I think it has something to do with their recent play.
Because the very next game, they lost to the Brooklyn Nets, so.
Very true. You, my friend, are an observer.
I am. So, I don't know. I mean, maybe it had something to do with it a little bit. I think it took more than just him having those comments and then having that first meeting. I think it took a couple meetings. And, you know what, to be honest with you, looking back, I'm not 100% sure I know which game it was. I think it was right before the OKC game where John Paxson came down and had a talk about toughness and hustle. And
what did you think about that? We didn't get the chance to talk about that. What do you think about that, man?
I think that things were headed downhill fast for this team. Everybody.
What does that say about your head coach?
It says that he's a new guy. He's a first year guy. John Paxson has always had his hand in the fire, if you will, with his Bulls team, with his Bulls teams. I don't know. Like, would you expect the same thing out of Mark Cuban? Sure. You know, some of these guys that are running teams. I know he's the owner. But he's not the vice president. But some of these guys that have their hand in the fire, I mean, it's not like, whoa, what is he doing with stuff on his toes? But
let's say Tibbs loses 5 in a row, right? You know, same point of the season, or they start off playing 500 basketball. Right.
They don't do that with Tibbs, guy, okay? Tibbs never let them lose that many games
in a row. Hypothetically. Come on. I just don't see it happening. I don't know, man. I don't know how that looks to the players, you know.
Well, I think it may have been a, hey, you guys aren't supporting this guy. You guys all wanted change. We brought you change. Here you are not supporting your coach, the style coach that's completely opposite to what you had before. Then you aren't supporting him. You don't have his back. You're not buying into his system. You guys aren't playing tough. You're not playing hard for him. It is no longer a coach issue. It's a you issue. So maybe it's something
that was said just like that. I would be totally on board with that, man.
Maybe it was. We don't know what was said. And if that was what was said, and then that's something that a coach can't say. That's something that the vice president would come down to say. So it leads me to believe that it was something that was not in Hoiberg's job description or pay grade to say to this team. And it was a gut check by your vice president coming down, an ex-player just like Hoiberg is. And I think ever since then is when this thing has started to click. These guys have started to back their coach up, to buy into his system. Look at the ball rotation. Look at the drop-off in ISO plays for Jimmy Butler and the actual Fred Hoiberg-looking plays of constant ball movement, ball reversal. How many times does Jimmy doesn't sit on the wing anymore, dribbling the ball or pump faking or hesitating for 20 minutes or 20 seconds before he – pulls up a 15, 20-foot fadeaway jumper. He's getting open shots other ways. He's backdoor cuts, running off screens. Things have changed. Things have changed. The whole look of this team, the eye test, I guess, is what we've always said for this team, has really made it taken a turn for the better. And I'll credit Jimmy Butler a little bit because I think what he said wasn't news to the Bulls of how he was feeling. But I also think that it rubbed the players the wrong way. I mean, you heard comments afterwards from Taj, from Powell, from Joakim Noah. All of them were claiming basically the same thing, that, hey, you keep that in-house. You don't go and run your mouth. And look what happened that next game after that. They didn't play any better against the Brooklyn Nets, I'll tell you that. And then all of a sudden everything changes once John Paxson comes downstairs. So I'm not going to give full credit to Jimmy. I'll give him some credit to make it to where maybe he pissed his teammates off even more, to where John Paxson's like, that's it. Like, this is ugly. I need to step down there. I need to walk downstairs and have a word with his team. This is out of control.
Yeah, collectively, I think the two play a huge part, one way or the other, whether it made, you know, guys look at each other and have more open communication or have talks that they wouldn't have had if these things wouldn't have been said. I know that Hoiberg and Butler met, and nothing but good things had to come from that. And even if it made Hoiberg get the boys in and have a couple of hard practices, and that the talk made the guys practice a little harder, perhaps. I don't know, man, but I think collectively it definitely played, because, you know, that ball, these last 10 games, man, that ball, like you said, like Hoiberg wants to do, the pace is being pushed, whether it's by Butler at the point guard, Rose recently has done a good job pushing the ball, even though he thinks he's done so all year. He is a liar. Brooks, when he's in there, Heinrich, they're all pushing the ball, man. The ball's moving side to side, in and out, all that good things. Everybody's cutting. You got the Powell and Butler play once again. It's being said everywhere you go on every TV channel, and everybody's tweeting it. So, you know, it's just all good things right now, man.
Collectively,
the team's playing awesome, man. They're a very well-rounded team, Jason. Like, we spoke on their offense earlier. Defensively, they're not too far from where they were last season, although individual defense has been very bad at times. You can call out a couple players. But more than that, Jason, they're ninth in the league in assists. That's always been a big thing with Tom Thibodeau. I know these players retain that. It's important. Hoiberg's offense is going to kind of coexist with that importance of moving the ball, how they, you know, go side to side and they're trying to get good shots and quick shots. That's going to, you know, work in their favor, especially in the assist department. They're fifth in the league in three-point percentage, first in rebounds. I mean, you know, all around, this team is looking excellent at times. You know, Derrick Rose can play the way he's played in the last 10 games, averaging 18-4. Three rebounds in 34 minutes, shooting the ball, you know, 42%, better, you know, the last couple games. But look, man, if that's the Rose we get and Jimmy Butler is playing Jimmy Butler type basketball and Rose stays healthy and these guys are playing this type of basketball, you know, I don't know about titles, but I think they can make a deep run. And if they get there, like we've said every goddamn year, and it holds true to any team, just get there. Anything can happen. Injuries can happen to your opponent. You know, it's a game of percentages, man. You know, one game, a higher percentage may fall than the next game. And that game may be game seven. I mean, you just never know. You got to get there. And I think this team can make a deep run in the playoffs playing this type of basketball. And then you add Dunleavy. Maybe they make a trade for a wing, get another scorer in here. You know, Jeff Green would sound good right now. So I don't know, man. It's just exciting. 2016 is exciting so far.
And you touched on the assist numbers. Jimmy Butler, as we've seen all season with his ISO play and trying to take games over, just three times in those first 25 games, Jimmy Butler had more than five assists. In the last six games, he's had three games where he's had more than five assists already. So he's moving the ball more. He actually had 10 assists last game. 10 assists, 32 points, double-double for Jimmy Butler. So not only absolutely. You know, he wasn't looking to distribute it and to get teammates involved as much as he has recently because of that Hoiberg offense, ball reversal, which he touched on just the other day. So like you said, good things. We were really down on this team. I think everybody was. We're no more guilty of it than anybody else. But I still think that a change and a move needs to be made. And, you know, unfortunately, the Bulls are playing really well right now. And when teams are playing really well, you don't need or you don't feel the need as a owner or a vice president or a general manager to make moves. But if you want to make an honest-to-God push for a title, this team still has tons of front court talent, and Bobby Portis is playing like a man amongst boys right now. And he does everything that Taj Gibson does and hits the three. And I think he's got a better stroke, and he's a black hole, just like Taj Gibson. So he does make Taj expendable, but I still don't know if that's the guy, if I'm the Bulls, that I want to move. I mean, he's in your starting rotation. He's working really well.
He's playing good, definitely. But you're not going to make a move to make a move.
You make a move to make yourself look better on the wing.
If there's talent out there.
Right, exactly, yeah. So my guy is still Powell. I mean, him and Derrick Rose play really well together. That pick and roll at the top of the key, it's amazing. Derrick Rose is just handing Pau Gasol wide open 15, 18-foot jump shots on any play. Any play that the Bulls want Pau Gasol to hit a jumper, that play is open every single time because you have to double Derrick Rose going to the rim off that screen and roll, and you're going to leave Pau Gasol, you're going to leave the jump shooter open, and it's Pau. And Pau knocks it down more times than not, and you know, it really makes there be another wrinkle in this offense. And last night, I even saw them run a play for Pau Gasol for a corner three where dude just ran down the court, went right to the 3-point line. I think they passed it. Derek passed it to Jimmy, dribbled to the corner to Powell, and set him a little screen as he handed it off to Powell for the three.
He's got the technical, you know, old school elbow in white person shot. You know what I mean? And he's a shooter. That's what's scary though when you talk about moving Powell. And everybody want to talk about his defense, you know. And we've been through this, man. Every year we talk about it. There's one player that this comes up. But, you know, I'm going to say the same thing. You got to score points to win the basketball game. So without him on the floor, if you got Noah in replace of him, and Noah should be back soon, and that's a good thing. Don't get me wrong. That play is out, man. That play does not work because they don't need to guard Noah. That tornado is not going in. It hasn't gone in all year. It was bad last season. You know, there's no reason to. You double Rose. Rose commits a turnover or tries to beat two people to the basket. More times than not, he has not succeeded at that as of late, excluding the last game, which he was awesome at getting to the basket at. But that's because of guys that can shoot the outside shot. And that's because teams have to lay back on that and you know, teams have to rotate and things of that nature. So, it's a tough decision, man. I mean, Gibson is 30. He's got 1 year left. He's going to be making damn near $9 million next season. So you got this rookie on your bench. I mean, when Noah gets healthy, let's say you don't make a move. Already there's a log jam. When you add a guy like Portis, who you got to play now, he got to get minutes, man. In his last 9 games, he's averaging 10 points and 7 assists on 48% in 21 minutes.
7 rebounds? This guy's a rookie.
Yeah, 7 rebounds. I mean, that's impressive. 21 minutes, double-digit points. That's 9 games for you. Come on. The guy got to play. I'm not in favor of making a move to make a move. You know, I don't want to make a lateral moves. But if there's some talent and you can get a wing player, I mean, I don't care who it is, Powell, Gibson. I kind of prefer Gibson because I think he holds more value. Powell's a lot older. The league knows about his defensive problems, whereas Gibson, he can be considered a two-way player. And he's putting up some decent numbers right now. So he's got an expiring contract. It also looks very attractive to a lot of players, so a lot of teams out there. So I don't know, man. I like the team as it's constructed moving forward. Mm. You had Dunleavy as some shooting.
See?
Or whatnot.
See what it's done to you, too. The winning cures all your...
For sure.
Now look, you just want them to stay pat.
I don't believe this is a championship caliber team. I don't believe this is a front runner.
Could be.
Yeah. I like this team. Today, in 2016, I like this team. They're entertaining. They're playing hard right now. They're moving the ball. It's all good right now. But that doesn't mean that's where a lot of people confuse things, Jason. A lot of Bulls fans. It's either you can't just think the team is good or like the team without thinking that they can win a title. You know, you can, as I do, love this team, think they're playing absolutely great basketball right now, think they're very talented, fun to watch, think they can go far, but you just don't think they can win a title. And that's where I'm at once again right now. And, you know, even adding like a Jeff Green or some guy that can hit a couple of shots for you, I still don't know that they're there. You got to get through LeBron James, man. And then if you do that, you got to get through Golden State in 7 games. And I know they're a jump shooting team, and people don't think jump shooting teams can win titles. But guess what? They won last season, and they're pretty damn good this season. So I don't know, man. I just like the team right now. I'm a happy Bulls fan in 2016. All things considered.
Yeah, I can't say that I'm going to like the team and that I want to stay pat. If it's I'm not like you. Like as a Bulls fan, I know that time's running out for this era, and I'd like to see this team get a title, and whether that means this year, next year, I know it's coming where things are going to be broken up soon. Yeah, they might not be able to beat the Warriors as currently constructed, but that's why you make moves. Look what Cleveland did last year. I think it was 35 games into it. They were like, you know what? We're good, but we're not good enough to win a title, which they still weren't, but nobody saw Golden State turn into what they turned into.
Playing without Kyrie Irving most of that series last year. People dog Kyrie Irving because their basketball is stupid. Because they had
a word that you have not used in maybe a year.
Yeah, but Kyrie Irving can play ball, man.
No, he can definitely ball.
He's a difference maker.
It would have been a different
series. He's a shot creator. He's a shot maker. Exactly. Yeah. You forget this team. It was back to the old Cavaliers. It was LeBron James, and bums. You know. So I don't believe that, man. I believe with Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving that's a series, and I don't know that they win. I don't know that they win that series,
but
it's a series, you know?
My point is that the Cavaliers recognize the fact that they were maybe not even the best team in the East. So moves needed to be made. They brought in Mozgov. They brought in J.R. Smith and Shumpert. And they filled in the voids that they needed. And it got them to the championship. It got them to the title games. And
I'd love to see something like that, man.
That the Bulls need to do. They don't need to just stand pat and just because they're likable right now and they're playing good, but they might not be up to par with a championship caliber team. You have assets. You have a huge, huge front court right now. Lots of depth to where you can move a guy. You can move a couple players here and there. And you can really bring in some talent to fill these voids and actually have a legitimate contending team. So I don't agree that you want to just say.
Well, let me clarify myself. I think you're mistaken. I like this team moving forward as if I like the team. Like, they're a cool team. They're fun to watch, blah, blah, blah. They're playing good basketball. But I don't want to make lateral moves. Like, there's talk out there. I don't want Ben McLemore for Snell and picks. That's
why not
a lateral move?
No.
What are you going to do with that?
McLemore.
What are you going to do with that? You're running out of time. Yeah, but that's not a difference maker to me. And you're giving away picks. I mean, those picks are going to be valuable coming up because you're starting to grab a young nucleus here, an impressive young four here in Butler. I believe Portis can be a starter next season. Nico is young. And he's up and down, but let's face it, he's playing good basketball right now. I mean, those three alone, along with – we'll see what happens with Rose. But, you know, the free agents out there, the Bulls aren't making splashes. They haven't in a long time. Whether you believe they don't want to come here or they're just unaggressive enough. So I think these picks coming up, man, you know, if they can get lucky again, things like Bobby and such not. Butler was a late pick. I mean, they've done well in the draft, let's face it. You know, so I don't want to give away those picks for a guy like Ben McLemore. Snell, you can take him all day, man. Then get him for like Gibson and Snell. I'm cool with that. But I just don't see that as a difference maker. I mean, that's filling a little void, but the Cavaliers are in the bottom of the league defensively before they made that move, before they got Mozgov, who's a hell of a rim guarder, J.R. Smith, who played a little defense for you. You know, before they made the moves like that, that really elevated them to the top 10 defensively, I believe, or at least the percentage at the rim. That's a big time void, man. You're not talking about a few points on the wing here and there. You know, I just don't think that's enough. So I'm all for making a move, man. I really am because, like, as I'm saying, I don't think this is a title contending team as we speak, although they're a cool team and whatnot. So if there's something out there, I'm telling you, man, I'm willing. Noah, Gibson, Powell, Nico, if it takes him, you can have them all. If you can bring somebody big here to change my opinion on what kind of team this is or to really go all out because – you know, they may know something we don't, man. I don't believe Rose is going to be here much longer. They may know that. And if Rose can keep this up, they may think, hey, this is our chance. Let's make a big splash. But, you know, I don't see anything like that happening this season. It's not the MO of the front office. There's really not anything available to make that big of a splash. So, you know, anything out there is probably nothing more than lateral moves or just a bit of improvement, like Ben McLemore or even a guy like Jeff Green. So, I don't know, man. I don't know that there's a void that can be filled in order to make them a championship team this season. Hopefully I'm wrong. I don't know.
I might say that just alone, Snell and a pick for McLemore is going to make this team a title. And McLemore is not the key to this, and getting rid of Snell is also not the key. But it's going to take maybe that and then moving Gibson for a wing player. Because it's obvious that you need wing depth bad. I mean, you're pulling in Snell right now. And
Dunleavy's not the key either, you know?
And no. And, you know, I wouldn't be I there's only one player that I want to move to that I don't want to move right now. Bobby Portis, because I think he is going to be a star in this league. And Jimmy Butler, for obvious reasons. Anybody else to me can go. I don't want to – I'm not saying I want to trade the entire team and just redo this thing right now. But I'm saying if the right move is out there, like you have said, then I'd be all for it. If it's going to make this team a title-contending team. I mean, the Cavaliers traded away garbage for those three guys. Why can't the Bulls make that move? Why can't they trade away garbage and bring in these key players? And it's going to happen to where you're going to hear names come up. Kevin Martin's name is going to come up from now until the middle of January, middle of February, I'm sorry. Now, there's going to be tons of guys like that to where me as a fan, I'm going to be excited to hear or to read rumors and to almost buy into the fact that maybe, just maybe, this year will be a different year in which the Bulls will bring in a player or a wing player and trade somebody and mix this thing up a little bit and actually put some effort into surrounding the rest of this cast with players to make this a contending team. Because to me, it's just lazy management on behalf of Garpax, to where they put this team together back in 2010-11 and kind of mixed it up a little bit, let Brewer go, traded away Korver for air, basically, brought in Powell instead of Boozer, drafted a couple guys, and here you go. Got rid of Tibbs, brought in a new coach. It's laziness. Tons of teams around the league have done things and built great teams. Look at the Detroit Pistons. Look at that team. Remember how trash they were? Now the Bulls can't even beat them. Look at the Charlotte Bobcats, or I'm sorry, the Charlotte Hornets right now. You know, Jordan was the laughing stock of the league a couple years ago, even last year. Now he's got a playoff contending team that the Bulls cannot beat. Or I guess the last year's Bulls, 2015 Bulls couldn't beat. Maybe the 2016 Bulls can. So teams around the league are making things happen, and the Bulls are just sitting here. Thinking,
I think we've become used to it. I think our fans, the fan base, has become used to that. And like you said, there's going to be moves made, and teams are going to be. There's going to be times where we're like, man, why? You're telling me we couldn't have gave up some garbage for this guy? Yep. There's always those trades every year. You're talking about, man, we could have gave up snow for this guy. This team's taking garbage. They just want him off the books. Blah 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 blah. But man, I don't want to get rid of picks, cause especially with a new coach and he's trying to implement a new system. He's going to draft different players. He's going to want to. He's going to need these draft picks to build the roster that he feels that he can win with. And I want to give him that trust. I want to give him that chance, the ability to draft his players. And the more picks he has, the more chances he has to land guys like Bobby Portis and Jimmy Butler to run this run and gun offense that he wants to put in place. So I just don't want to give away any picks, man, unless it's you're talking like blockbuster type, we're winning a title this season type shit.
I'm not trying to build a championship roster for the next 30 years off of top 20 or 20 and up first-round picks.
We do it like the Chicago Cubs, man.
No. Chicago Cubs didn't do that off just picks.
Basically, their whole team is constructed from what they drafted right now. And they got a lot of more boys coming up in the system, man. They're just a couple of free agents away right now.
Those assholes. Maybe you're right. Oh, just lost like 40 Twitter followers right there. 40
gone. Swallow a bullet.
Like I said, I'm not going to overvalue 20 plus 20 to 30. I guess pick 20 to 30. I'm not going to overvalue that. I'm not going to hold on to that just because I'm not going to try to bring in the right guy and the right maybe couple players to make this thing actually a championship contender. I mean, how many times are the Bulls going to watch Aaron Aflalo just move from place to place for a second round pick and some cash? You know,
yeah, you can forget him, man. That's frustrating. That last year, that was frustrating.
So there's going to be, and that's what I'm saying. There's guys to where you can basically give up absolutely nothing. Some teams will pay you to take away players like that. And the Bulls aren't even picking – don't tell me they're picking up the phone. They haven't in the past. Maybe they are this year. Maybe they were all of a sudden the Bulls are on this 5-game winning streak, and Gar Forman slowly puts the phone down and hangs up like, you know what?
Talk to them. They're always on the phone. They're always talking to team.
Maybe they were when they were playing like trash, but I can guarantee you now that the phone calls may be coming in more from other teams because these players are playing a lot better. But I guarantee you the outgoing calls are not as frequent as they were maybe 3 weeks ago. So, I mean, it's going to be the same thing. This is a great team. This is a great roster. Things are meshing right now. Dunleavy is going to come back. Joakim Noah is going to be coming back. What's going to happen with the rotation? I understand Snell's not going to get any playing time once that happens. He's obviously the master child of this roster. Anytime this guy makes one mistake, even guys like Doug McDermott are screaming at him. So I am excited for Mike Dunleavy coming back just so I don't have to watch Tony Snell. Although I will give him credit. He's playing a lot better right now. His confidence is coming back, but it might be too little too late for him. But what do you do? What do you do with Bobby Portis? I guess, you know, Dunleavy's going to come back. Is he going to start over Mirotić? Does Fred Hoiberg love Mirotić so much that he has to have him in his starting rotation? Does he like Mirotić and Gasol so much the better that it has to happen? I don't know. So there's a lot to iron out there, and my thing is pick up the phone, make a trade, make a couple guys go away to bring in some guys that can actually round this thing out so that we're not sitting here in June talking about the Cavaliers and the Warriors in the finals. That's what I want to do. I want one time to talk about the Bulls and the Warriors in the finals.
Yeah, man. Well, Fred's got some thinking to do. Definitely. But Nico's been, you know, back-to-back 17-point games, and it's early here in January in 2016, but, you know, 16-4, he's shooting over 50% from the field and beyond the arc. You know, it'd be nice if he'd take a couple steps in. He doesn't have to launch, like, half-court three-pointers all the time, but, you know, he's playing well out the three so far. I wasn't a big fan of him playing the three. I know you weren't either,
no.
I believe.
No.
It's just that I felt like he could take more advantage of fours in this league. But, man, it's working right now. What's broke, don't fix it. So he's got a decision to make. I don't even think Dunleavy is ready. He's not close to being ready. So I think he's got a while to worry about that. But Noah will be back here soon. So he's got some decisions to make as far as Bobby Portis. But, hey, man, I'm on the Portis fan club.
I think with Nico being in the starting lineup, no matter what happens with Joe, you're going to still get those minutes out of Bobby Portis. I think once Dunleavy comes back, in addition to Noah, is when it's really going to be an issue, because you can just bench Tony Snell and get away with it right now. You can take out Nico and bring in, you know, Kirk or whoever you want to bring in and slide Jimmy over to the three, and then use that three-man rotation of Taj and Joe and Bobby Portis. You can do that and get away with it and still put Nico, just have him rotating out on the three spot. So I think you can still do it when Joakim Noah comes back, and I really think, like I said, it's going to be a big cluster when McDonleavy's back, as long as everybody's still healthy at that time. And also you got McDermott, who you can slide into that small forward position and still leave Tony Snell on the bench. I really think he's going to be the odd man out, should already be the odd man out, but I think McDermott's knee is really keeping him into play right as we speak. So, I mean, good things are coming. Obviously, we're watching good things happen. It is no longer what are we going to talk about on this podcast? How are we going to fight through an episode? And what are we going to say in order not to piss people off more? And because I know as a fan, if I'm going to go listen to a podcast and all it's going to be is this guy sucks and this guy sucks and this is what we need to do because we suck and this team is better than us, I'm not going to want to listen to it. So it's nice to come on here and talk good things.
Hey, you're not going
to
want to watch the games either.
No, that was a struggle too. You know,
but it's totally opposite now. I can't wait for Thursday. They face a pretty tough Celtic team, man. But look, talking about a 21-12 team here with some moves to be made, some guys coming back from injury. I mean, we talk about this as if it's a problem, but it's a good thing. It's going to free some guys up to maybe look to be moved. We're bringing back some talent to the already talented squad. Look, this team is in the top half of the league in a lot of categories, man. The backcourt is one of the best in the league. I mean, the last 10 games, Rose is 18-4, you know, shooting the ball a little bit better. That last game was very impressive. Butler, you know, we talked about him all podcast, all season long. He's 12th in the league in scoring, 12th in the league in steals. I mean, the guy's shooting the ball better in the last couple games, shooting almost 50%, 74 points on 44 field goal attempts in the last two games. I mean, it's just exciting things coming from this backcourt. Hopefully in the near future, if Rose keeps this up, because we know Butler is consistent, man. He's going to give you his heart and all that rah-rah stuff every game, along with some talented scoring efforts and defensive plays. So moving forward, you know, it's all good things. But, you know, they got that tough Celtic team coming up. They're 6-7 on the road with some tough road games coming up. One I will happen to be in attendance at, Clippers game, end of the month here. But they're also playing in Milwaukee, at Atlanta, at Detroit, in L.A., as I just mentioned. And they're also playing the Cavs this month. So some tough tests ahead, man. So it's going to be exciting.
Good luck to you at that Clippers game.
You've had some bad luck, some ass whoopings.
My bad luck is every time I purchase a ticket, somebody just happens to go down. So all right. I'm on strike right now. No. I came to Chicago to watch the.
Yeah. You've been to a Bulls Clipper game a couple of times, haven't you?
No. I've only seen the Bulls lose in person one time.
Oh, that was with the Clippers, right?
Right. Like that was the Clippers. Block. That was right after the Portland Trailblazers game. In which Rose tore his MCL. Oh, that was a brutal night. But no, I've been to Warriors game a couple times back before they were NBA champs, and the Bulls did work on them. Rose was out there shooting around, doing his normal pregame routine. Looked like he could play. If you asked me, I would have said, "Hey, this guy's a go." But nah, he didn't play. And then I came to Chicago to watch the Bulls take on the Heat. And that I'll never forget that game. That was not only because I was there, the best game I've ever seen, but that was a pretty epic game. But yeah, you said that Jimmy Butler has scored what 74 points in the last two games.
Yeah, 44 field attempts.
He scored 70.
More impressive than the 74 points.
Well, and even more impressive than that, in the last six quarters, he scored 72 points.
Oh yeah, you want to one up me, huh?
Because he only scored two.
This is true. Jason, he observes things, doesn't he, guys? This is Jason here. You got it all together over there, man.
I'm sure everybody's agreeing with you right now.
Well, all right.
Well, maybe we can I think we're moving this to Wednesdays. Wednesday recording. We'll see. Thursday release, maybe. I don't know. I'm going to try and do it tonight. So anyway, we are no longer doing it on Sundays right now due to my weekend coaching schedule that will be taking place every weekend from now to the end of February. So my apologies to everyone that likes to wake up Monday morning and listen to us in their office and help them get through a Monday. I guess you can just hold off the download if you want. Just don't download us until the following Monday. But this will be the new day for a little bit here until we get back into the full swing of things. So don't tweet us and bitch and gripe. You know who you are.
Gustavo.
Vega.
I like saying that name, man.
Because it reminds you of Breaking Bad.
My favorite character, Gustavo.
That's your favorite? That was your favorite character?
I don't know why. I just like that dude, man.
You're
his demeanor.
I knew you were off a little bit, but that right there is like the icing on the cake.
I don't know. I like how he carried himself, man.
I mean, it wasn't Jesse. It wasn't...
Jesse used to piss me off, man. Riding around with millions of dollars in his car, feeling bad and shit. Smoking cigarettes and stuff. Get your... Man, give me that money, then. Throwing the money out the window. You fucking idiot, man. Like, all the things they had to do to get that money. All the lies that were lost. Dirt that was done. And it was for nothing. This guy.
Anyway. Who are those people that do podcasts about TV shows? Like how?
I was invited by this. I don't know who he was. I think he found me on Twitter.
He probably listens to the show, and now we're going to clown him.
No, I believe it was a pretty popular Breaking Bad podcast, and he, he inquired, you know, about three times. And I was like, yeah, man, I'll let you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm thinking to myself, like, man, what am I going to get out here and talk about?
Yeah.
But I'm not, like, some TV expert, you know, some movie nut or whatever.
Yeah, dude was going to go, like, back in the history of directors, Jesse.
Yeah, right. Screenwriters and shit and all types of stuff. I just watched the show. That's it.
I want to know what your thoughts were the minute you saw.
What do you think Jesse Pinkman was thinking? About, you know, it's like, what? You ever watch these after shows and they're asking these things? Like, it's a little too far from me, man.
Yeah, no, I don't get it. I don't get it. It's weird enough that we do an NBA Bulls podcast.
It's not that weird.
If you ask my wife and kid, it's weird.
I know. I tell people at work, they don't say shit, man. They're probably like, this dude is talking about the podcast.
I'll never forget when I went to go play ball one morning and these guys were talking about the Bull Zone and how we tweeted this. The Bull Zone tweeted out something the other day. It was this 30 second video of Kirk Heinrich and how he sucked. His highlights.
I'll let you
say. And they're like, oh, this Bull Zone. I follow the Bull Zone. I listen to their podcast. I'm like, you listen to the podcast. So you guys know. Yeah. They know now. They're listening. But I play ball
That's
with them.
That's funny, man.
And they live cool. in the same town as me. So, yeah, it was a little weird.
That's crazy.
They didn't believe me at first. I had to show. I had to prove it to them.
Did they ask you for your autograph?
No.
No,
I haven't gotten that far yet. I think you are the most famous because you used to have a guy give you free Starbucks in Chicago.
Hey, man. I take it when I can, you know? That's about as far as my Bulls on fame goes. So.
It doesn't reach far for either one of us.
Nah, not at all.
My kid likes to Google Jason Hall Bulls on. And then because I'm on Google Images, then she thinks I'm famous.
Yeah, I don't know too, man.
And there's a YouTube video out there of me.
Oh, yeah,
so because you're on YouTube, you're famous in the eyes of a 9-year-old.
I'm going to have a talk with her one day.
You can try, but...
let me tell you about your dad here.
She doesn't think too highly of you, let me tell you.
That's messed up. I gave her some rope lighting for her room, man.
I'm kidding.
I'm going to stop calling her by her nickname from now on.
She'll get mad. Her,
tell her like I do my wife. Get mad.
One of the coaches on our team refused to call her Mad Dog. Told her she had to earn it.
That's funny.
And so now, in between every quarter break, she asks him, am I still Mad Dog? It means a lot to her. So.
That's funny.
You better watch. Tread lightly when you don't call her by her nickname. But anyway, enough of that. Enough of this, enough of that. Let's wrap this thing up. Maybe I can get this thing edited out and out there to everybody tonight. So be sure to check us out on Twitter at The Bull Zone, our website at shybullzone.com, and Facebook at Chicago Bull Zone.
Always, thanks for tuning in to The Bull Zone, where it's all bulls, no bullshit.